our hands to worship and to magnify your name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands to worship and to
bless you. It's good to be in church.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, it's a country where no twilight shadows deepen. Unending day where night will never And it's a city where no storm clouds ever gather. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder?
heaven means to me. And it's a place where there is no misunderstanding. Bless you. Let's stand and sing it. Are you looking forward to being over there? What will it be when we get over yonder and we'll join the throng upon the glassy of Jesus, before whose image other loves all flee, and when they crown him Lord of Lords, I'll be there. Oh, this is just what heaven.
In your hymn book.
I am a pilgrim and a stranger. I'm wandering through this world of sin. I'm on my way to that fair city. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching. to swing low and I'll step in. On the clouds I'll ride to heaven when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. Go marching in. Oh, when they crown him Lord of all. Oh, when they crown him Lord of all. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When they crown.
You looking forward to that day?
I am.
Amen. God bless you. I know most of you that go to church here know what it means to get Brother Hoovered, but I just want you to know, a year ago, I came up here and there was a cane sitting here, and I had to be real serious and lead songs. Well, tonight, I'd like to thank him for getting me some Centrum Silver, but it's for 50 and over, so I don't think I'll need it for another 9 years, so... Thank you, Brother Hoover, for your support. If you want a new song leader, get him to back off, because with my cane and my vitamins, I'd be good to go for a while. But sure appreciate Brother Hoover supporting me as I age. So God bless you. It's good to be in church. Want to greet all of you in the name of the Lord and greet all of our visitors as well. Sure is an honor to be here. God bless you. I have a couple of prayer requests here. We have an unspoken prayer request for the Sargent family. And I'm not sure who this is from. Brother Joel turned it in to me, but please pray for a friend of mine's brother. His name is Josh. He is in the ICU. So definitely want to remember those prayer requests in prayer, and also the ones from this morning. And if Brother Philip, are you here from Ghana? If you could you come up and pray over the prayer request, brother? Sure, it's good to have our folks visiting with us from Ghana today. So as when you go back, just greet the folks there from us, and it sure is good to have you. God bless you.
Shall we pray? Shall we pray? Dear Lord Jesus, our high priest of our profession, who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, Lord, you are the Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heal all sickness and heal all disease, the Lord that protects us from destruction. Lord, we commit this prayer request into your hands. And Lord, before we pray, you have already answered our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for your divine intervention and bringing peace and joy and health and comfort to your people. Lord, we thank you and bless you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Brother Daryl Layton and some of his grandkids. So, looking forward to that. God bless you.
God bless him. I wrote this, Lord gave me this song about 9 or 10 years ago, right before Kelly was born, I think. So, I call it Tug of War. So, hope you enjoy it. I was running from the Lord when God said it was time. I fell down on my knees and I began to cry. Jesus, save me from my misery. That's when old Satan began to work on me.
He started to thank you.
One minute I'm praising the Lord, and the next old Satan is knocking on my door. I stand my ground and claim the victory, and kick old Satan off my mountain. He has no claim on me. The anchor on that boat, and in his name he'll flee.
My faith stands on thee. Sure appreciate that. God bless you. This time we have a special from Sister Anna Gurgley. She's here with us tonight. Amen.
Let me see.
Appreciate that. Amen. We're going to add one more song on tonight. We had a request that Sister Christy sing this song, so I'm going to ask her to come at this time and sing. So just looking forward to what the Lord has for us this evening. Amen. It's good to be out of the house of the Lord. Amen. God bless you.
So the last time I sang this song was about a month ago, and I gave a testimony, well, not really a testimony, more of a confession, that I had been struggling spiritually and emotionally, mentally. I had been very discouraged, and somebody had asked me to sing this song, and I didn't want to because it was a song of victory. But I decided I would sing it anyway because they had asked me to. And I want to say, like he said in the sermon this morning, about a positive confession. And so when I came up to sing that song, I sang it as a positive confession. And starting that day, the emotional battle I had been fighting started to move. So my situations haven't changed. Nothing in my life has changed, but I have changed, and he's restored my joy, and he's given me a refilling. So today I'm singing it as a song of victory, and you all can sing it with me.
When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will sing like David sang. When the Spirit of the Lord falls upon my heart, I will
appreciate our special singing. Amen. We can definitely say, oh, God's not dead. Oh, God's not dead. He is alive. God's not dead. He is alive. Oh, I feel him in my hands. I feel him in my feet. I feel him in my heart. I feel him all over me. Oh, I said, God's not dead.
It's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire. It's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, I feel it in my soul. It's keeping me alive. Oh, it's praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that he's keeping you alive?
Amen.
Amen. Whether you feel him or not, I'm glad we can feel him. But even when we don't feel him, amen, we know God's not dead.
Amen.
Amen. We can see him in nature. We see him in his word. We see him in his people. Amen. So we're living proof that God's not dead. Amen. God bless you tonight. Turn with me into 2 Corinthians, if you would, in chapter 10. Certainly appreciate our special singers and our musicians, our visitors, and you home folks as well.
Amen.
Amen. Good to be in church again tonight, and hope you came expecting.
Yes.
We want to continue to look at this thought of dealing with negativity. Maybe take it from a slightly different angle tonight than we looked at it the previous two services, but want to continue with this same line of thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves by measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, we thank you for your presence that we feel here already, and we just ask that you take complete control of the service. Lord, for myself especially, Lord, I just ask that you'd anoint me, help me to get into a channel, Lord, where you could use me as you see fit. Lord, may we lay aside the thoughts of the day and the thoughts of the week, Lord, of things that we may be facing. Just focus a little while on your word together, Lord, and may you receive glory and praise from it, and may you change lives. Make us more like you, Father, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated tonight. Since it's Sunday night, and since the song service is a little longer, we wanted to try to get the specials in, things like that. I'm going to try to keep it a little shorter tonight, but I'm not going to promise. I'm going to try. But we want to look at this a little further tonight with the help of the Lord. And St. Paul telling the Corinthians here, discouraging them from comparing themselves with one another. And I want to look at another scripture here in 2 Corinthians verse 3. And just want to look at verses 17 and 18. And St. Paul says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." I'm thankful for that tonight. Amen. I'm thankful that we have liberty in the Spirit. I hope that you feel that way tonight. I hope that you didn't come and thinking, if I praise the Lord, what will Brother Nathan think, or what will the deacons think, or what will the person beside me in my pew think? But I hope tonight that we can have freedom of the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So I thank God for liberty. As we looked at a while back, Paul said, why should my liberty be judged by another man's conscience? And so we don't believe in trying to make other people live our convictions, but we do believe in having people live the Word. We believe that the Word is right. And maybe there's certain things that you're convicted for specifically for your family. That's okay. I know there's certain things Paul talked about. He said there's some that, abstain from eating meat, and he said that won't hurt them. And then there's some that believe in eating meat, and that won't hurt them either. And so I thank God for that it's okay for me to eat meat, and I thank God for that. But whatever wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we want to walk in the liberty that God provides. We don't, if we're not careful, we begin to compare one another. And we begin to look, Sister so-and-so does it this way, so it must be okay. Or Sister so-and-so or Brother so-and-so, they don't do it this way, so we won't do it that way either. Are you a great-granddaddy yet, Brother Jimmy?
Not yet.
Not yet. All right. Well, he's got a great-grandbaby on the way, so we're just, waiting and seeing what the Lord has for him. But it may if she waits long enough, he'll have it on his birthday. So praise the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we don't want to compare ourselves with one another, but we do want to compare ourselves with the Word of God. Paul goes on to say in verse 18, he said, "But we all with open face beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So Brother Branham teaches us that we look into the mirror of God's Word. This word here, glass, it means to show in a mirror or to make reflect, to mirror, to look at oneself in a mirror, to behold oneself in a mirror. So we don't want to compare ourselves to others, but we want to look at what God says about you in His Word. Amen. I want to look at God's Word and see, how am I lining up with the Word of God? That's the mirror that we want to look at. As much as I love Brother Wade, I don't look at Brother Wade tonight and say, Brother Wade does this a certain way, so that's how I'll do it. Brother Wade's not my absolute, and I'm not his. I'm no other man is my absolute but the man Christ Jesus. But we look into the Word and we compare ourselves. What does the Word say? And some of you sisters, it wouldn't be good for you to look at my wife or anybody else's wife and say, Sister Rebecca, she wears her hair a certain way, so I'll do my hair that way. Or she wears her skirts a certain way, I'll do it that way. She is a sister. As much as you might respect her and love her, she's not your absolute. We don't compare one another with, this sister does her style this way, or her dress this way, or the way she does this, or where she shops, or whatever. I'm not interested in comparing myself with somebody else, but I do want to make sure that my life lines up with the Word of God. Many times, if we're not careful, this can become a negative thing, and it can get into negativity, because instead of comparing ourselves with somebody else and making them our standard, if we're not careful, we begin to make ourselves the standard, and we look at everybody else and say, they don't do it the way that I do it, so they must be wrong. If it's not something that's solid in the Word that you've got a quarter of Scripture for, you should be careful. I've heard ministers around the message get up and make different statements that they didn't have any more quote or Scripture to prove it, then I've got a quote or Scripture to prove that we're going to all fly off and live on Mars. They didn't have any quote or Scripture for it, but projecting their personality or their opinion to the people and trying to make them live under that bondage, I'm not interested in that type of leadership. Amen. I want the leadership of the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me. I believe God uses men, but God's men will point you back to the Word. They won't point you to their family album, or don't get scared or offended tonight, but they won't point you to Brother Branham's family album and say, well, this is what his pictures look like or whatever, so this is how we do it. They'll point you to the Word of God. Amen. I'm not interested in a family album being my absolute, but I am interested in the Word of God being it. I want to make sure that my life lines up with His Word. So, you know, if we're not careful, we get a little bit of this opinionated idea that, well, you know, we go to these certain entertainments and we feel like that's okay, and we believe in playing these certain sports, so that's okay, or we believe in watching these certain, you know, shows or movies or whatever. We think up until 1950 whatever or 1960 whatever, that's okay, but then anything past that we don't believe, or if it's only got one or two bad words in it, we'll do that, but if it's got more, we won't. And I don't have a quarter of scripture to tell you those things. I don't have a quote of scripture to get up here and give you a spreadsheet and say, okay, these TV shows are okay, but these aren't, and these movies are okay, but these aren't, and you can play this sport, but you can't play that sport, and you can watch this sport, but you can't watch that sport. I don't have quotes or scriptures to definitely identify some of those things. So you know what I depend on for me and my family is I depend on the Holy Ghost to lead us and guide us. And if I feel like something is absolutely contrary to the Word, I don't think the Lord would lead you to watch filth. I don't think He would do it. I don't believe He would lead you to sit in an environment of filth. But I also believe that there's the liberty of the Holy Spirit that He can lead you and guide you just the same as He would lead me and guide me from my family. I don't mean He'll guide you and lead you exactly the same things, because there may be certain things that your family struggles with that mine doesn't, and maybe you should distance yourself from those. And then there may be things that we struggle with that maybe you wouldn't have any bit of problem about at all, and you could have I'm just going to get in trouble tonight, but I'll just go ahead and say it tonight. Paul said, drink a little wine for your stomach, Timothy, because he was having stomach problems, and some people around the message have used that to become winos because they have a problem with it. And somebody else, just like they would use Robitussin or they would use Tylenol or something else, somebody else might be able to go and get them a little sip of wine once every 6 months when they had some stomach troubles and be okay with it. My family history, it's probably not a good idea for me to have bottles of wine and Jack Daniels and things in the cupboard for medicinal purposes, or that might become a problem. Somebody else might not bother them at all, but know your enemy and know where your struggle is, all right? Amen. We don't want to lean on some crutch and make it a stumbling block for ourselves or somebody else. But I can't get up somebody if they feel led to, they want to take a little sip of wine once every 6 months for their stomach problems. I don't have a quarter of scripture that tells them they can't. But if they start leaning on it as a crutch and become a drunkard, I got plenty of quotes and scriptures for that. Amen. For me, I don't feel like I should do it. I'll just be honest with you. I don't want to go down that path and start using it as a crutch. So I go, and if I've got stomach trouble, I'll chew some Tums or drink some Pepto-Bismol or whatever it be. But that's me and my family. I can't tell you, thus saith the Lord, only drink Pepto-Bismol. I don't have a quota of scripture for that. So we don't compare ourselves with somebody else. If we're not careful, we begin to look at everybody else through our lenses, and we begin to say, well, brother so-and-so at this other church, he runs his service a little different than we do, and so he must be wrong because we don't run it that way over here. There are many things as far as the running of a church service that we don't have a specific thing that says, thus saith the Lord, you shall only have these instruments, or you should only have a certain amount of instruments. I thank God, I look around and I see cello and violins and guitars and bass guitars and organs and pianos and drums and all kinds of different things. I thank God for the talent that He sent into our church. But yet, you know, when we started off, it was me and a little acoustic guitar around my neck struggling through and doing the best that I can. I thank God that He sent us a brother Furman and a brother Arnie and a brother Anthony and all these brothers and sisters that have been a helping and a blessing. Some churches don't have those options, or some churches the pastor may not agree with all the instruments that we lose. That we would use. That's their prerogative. Brother Bram didn't say you have to have drums, but he didn't say you couldn't have them either. Amen. Somebody said, we don't believe in drums and guitars, you know, because Brother So-and-so said once upon a time that Brother So-and-so told him. Well, he told me to say what the tapes say and say what he said and to say what the word said. And so I don't have anything that can tell you that there's certain instruments okay and certain instruments aren't. So if God sends the talent into the church and we feel so led, we'll do that. And that's our prerogative. And as the sovereignty of the local church, we have that right. But don't look down your nose at somebody else just because they don't want to do it. That's their choice. They can run. If they want to have 20 songs in their worship service or two or three or whatever, that's their choice. They can do that. But we have our freedom and our liberty here that we can do that. Somebody gave us a hard way to go one time because of some of the plants that we have on the platform. Well, I'm sorry, I don't have a quote of scripture that says you can't. Well, they said, well, Brother Branham said that the altar wasn't made for flowers. It was made for men. Well, first of all, we don't have an altar. We have stairs. Amen. And we don't have so many plants that it would prevent somebody from coming and kneeling and praying at the altar. And you know, I'll remind you that in Lakeport, California, there were some flowers a lot bigger than this beside the pulpit on either side of Brother Branham. And in one shot, there's just plants and Brother Branham. And the next shot, there's the pillar of fire all around him. So the plants apparently didn't offend the angel of the Lord too bad. So, amen. We still feel him come here, you know, and meet with us. So it's apparently not offending him too bad. So I can't run the church off of people's opinion. Amen. I don't even want to run the church off of just my opinion unless it's just something where there's nothing clear in the word that I feel like I have a choice. But I don't want to just get up and make up things on the fly here that just, well, I just think it'd be best to do it that way. But let's look into the word and see what the word says. And if the word doesn't have a specific set thing, then let's try to let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us for our situation as best as he can. And then stop comparing ourselves with everybody else and comparing them with us, and let's just move forward in the Lord. Amen. Identification, 1963. Now, with our message, can we stand by the looking glass of God's word and see Christ reflect in our own lives then? Amen. Didn't say, does everybody else in Jeffersonville and New Albany and Louisville and Sellersburg and Charlestown, do they line up with your idea of how to do it or my idea of how to do it or our personal opinion or our man-made legalism or whatever it be? Said in, can you stand with our message? Can we stand and by the looking glass of God's word see Christ reflect in our lives? Oh my, I want to be able to look and see him reflected in my life. Amen. I see him reflected in the word. I see him reflected in the moving of the Holy Spirit, but I don't want that just to be for somebody else. I want to see Christ reflected in my own life and others to be able to see Christ reflected in my own life. So when we go to do something, we shouldn't just ask, well, would Sister So-and-so be okay with that? What would Brother Nathan think? What would Brother Layton or Brother Hoover or Brother Trevor, what would they think about that? No, that's not the point. The point is, what would Jesus Christ think? Could you take Jesus Christ with you to do it? Right. Amen. If he's not welcome, we probably don't want to participate. Another thing that we don't want to do is don't build obstacles in your mind before you get to them. Don't build obstacles in your mind before you get to them. Many times, especially people with certain nervous personalities. And Brother Branham, there's probably hundreds of quotes similar to the ones that I'll read you. I want to read five or six of them tonight just to show you that this wasn't just one person back in 1954 or 63 or whatever. But this was a pattern that Brother Branham ran into in the prayer lines. Nervous conditions and ulcers, ulcerated stomachs and things like that were being caused by this very problem right here of people trying to cross bridges before they got to them. Right. Now, this is something that my personality is something that I deal with a little bit, but I'm a lot better off at it than I used to be when I was a young man. But as a young man, Brother Hoover, I would sit there and I would lay awake at night and I had it all planned out, my career and who I was going to marry and where we were going to live and all these different things. And you know what, Brother Caleb? None of it happened that way. And all I did was waste a lot of time and worry and thought that I could have been studying to have my master's degree or something. I could have probably been a rocket scientist with all the time and effort that I put into those type of things if I would have applied myself in a different way. But if we're not careful, we begin to think about the future and worry about the future and try to pre-plan the future. And 9 times out of 10, or I'll say 999,999 out of a million, it's not going to happen that way anyhow. And you're crossing bridges that you haven't even got to, or counting your chickens before they hatch, or whatever cliche that you want to use tonight. And we get all worked up and all worried. What about this situation? And what if Sister So-and-so doesn't understand what I said? And what if she took it the wrong way? And what if this circumstance at work changes? And what if this person were to pass? And what about this? And what about that? And if we're not careful, it just builds up fears and anxiety. And God doesn't want you to live like that. Amen. Now, it's okay to make plans, and it's okay to have good intentions, but make positive plans and have positive good intentions. And don't just let those things consume you, but you sit down and have a plan. Lord, I'd like to do this. You know, I'd like to see this for my family and whatever it would be. And have a conscious thought and set some goals for yourselves, and then just start building towards those goals. But don't sit there and obsess about it day and night and let the devil beat you up and worry about you, because I don't know about you. Brother Bram said prophets are born prophets. So I was not born a prophet, so I'm never going to be a prophet. If somebody comes and tells you I'm a prophet, you tell them you're a liar, because Brother Nathan said that he wasn't. So I'm not a prophet, so I can't see down the line and see what the future is for me or my family or you or whoever it would be and lay it all out and tell you what it's going to be by vision. So all I can do is like every Holy Ghost-filled person, just depend on the Holy Ghost and put forth my best effort in the direction that he's leading me, and do the things that I can do and leave the rest to him. It will do me no good to worry and beat my head against the wall about things that I have no control over. It won't help me. It'll just hinder me and stress me out and make me live in a spirit of fear and anxiety. But there are certain things that we can do, and God gives us wisdom to do, and you should do those things. And then whatever you can't do about it, don't stay up all night and worry about it. Brother Ram said fear, if I was going to be shot by a firing squad in the morning, fear would have no positive effect on me. To lay there all night and think about, oh, what's the bullet going to feel like? And how many times are they going to shoot me? How many rifles are there going to be? What time is it going to happen? Oh my, I wonder if I'll die instantly, if I'll lay there and bleed out. He said that is not going to help you at all. It's just going to get you nervous and upset and worried. But he said faith could deliver you. Faith could bring you out. Faith could send the governor down with your pardon to say, hey, let the man go. Don't build obstacles in your mind before you get to them. Manifestation of thy resurrection, 1954. He said, nervousness. The only thing, sir, you think deep. You cross bridges before you get to them, taking other things upon your heart. And you're always planning something that never happens. It's only mentally nervous. It's a mental nervousness. That's right. You've been that way for years, but Jesus Christ is here to take it off of you. Now, if Jesus wanted to take it off of him, it obviously wasn't a positive thing. Amen. He didn't commend him for his planning skills. He told him, he said, you keep planning things that never happen and crossing bridges that you never get to. You're mentally nervous and you've been that way for years, but Jesus Christ is here to take it off of you. Now, this is something that you battle. I don't want you to just think, my, that was nice for Brother So-and-so back in 1954. But I want to say that same Jesus Christ is here tonight. Amen. He can take away your fears and your worries and your anxieties. Again, hear ye him, 1956. You have a very strange nature. That is a deep thinker. Always crossing bridges before you get to it. It's always a bad thing. Never happens the way you plan it to happen. And by that, it's developed a peptic condition of the stomach, giving you stomach trouble. That's right, isn't that, sir? If that's right, raise your hand. And maybe this man from a little boy, let's just dramatize it a little bit. Maybe his first day at school, his mommy had bought him his school clothes and laid them all out, and he had his school books and he had everything planned out, and he was waiting for the school bus to come. And maybe one of his little friends that was older than him said, oh my goodness, you're going to hate school. There's bullies, and some of the teachers are mean, and some of the school bus drivers, you know how them school bus drivers are. We've got a few here tonight, so I have to tread softly. You take your life into your own hand the way they drive and things, and maybe a fight going on in the back seat and they can't even see it or know what's going on about it. And all these, and he just begins to build up all these things and all these pressures, and he lays there all night, Azariah, and he begins to think, oh my, what's it going to be like tomorrow? It's going to be terrible. I'll probably get beat up. Here I am, the youngest kid at school and the shortest kid and the skinniest kid and the poorest kid and this kind and this kind and that and the other. And I don't have no friends there. And they said, Miss Jenkins, she's mean as the devil himself. And I've got her for English, and on and on and on. He thinks and he worries and he has anxiety. And how do you think his first day of school turned out? And then everything that he faces, he begins to approach in this way and to think the worst about it and to dwell on the negative possibilities. And, oh, what if this happens? And what if that happens? And what if this person does this to me? And what if I say something wrong? Or what if I do something wrong? And by the time he's maybe in his mid-20s, he starts to have stomach pains. And every time he eats, it bothers him. And every time he goes to thinking about something, it bothers him. And he walks around, everything that hits his stomach is sour, and he can't enjoy his food anymore, and he's in pain all the time, and his hair's beginning to fall out from stress and worry. Why? Never happened the way that he planned it to happen. It's always a bad thing, Brother Branham said. He says, which it is right, couldn't be nothing else. God Almighty knows it. You know, you now, he says, throw aside every negative thoughts and we'll go home and eat your supper and praise God and give him praise for it. Brother Branham didn't tell him to take a 90-day spiritual journey and go out and fast and pray for 90 days and go out in the wilderness and get alone and go through some spiritual ritual and do all these things. He said, throw aside every negative thought. And when he went to bed that night, no doubt, here comes the devil again. Oh, but what about tomorrow? You know, your boss has had it in for you. You know that guy down at your job, he's just trying to do everything he can to get you fired and try to get you to mess up and try to catch you in any mistake he can. And all of a sudden he heard a prophet's voice come back to him and said, throw aside every negative thought. And he said, boo, devil. Boo, devil. My God shall provide for all my needs. And all of a sudden he noticed his stomach begin to relax and feel a little better. And he began to give God praise and testify of it. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. Thank you for taking away the negative thoughts. Thank you for taking away that constant negativity of comparing myself with everybody else and worrying about everything before I get to it. Jesus Christ the same, 1956. He says, you're a mighty fine, strong-looking man to be suffering with a nervous condition, but you can't help that. You've had it pretty near all of your life. It just bothers you. You got a mental nervousness that caused you weary. And you're always thinking of things and crossing bridges before you get to them. That's a nature of yours. That's right, isn't it? Not reading your mind, but that's the truth. You always plan things and never happens that way and upsets you and things like that. Taking other people's troubles to your heart and worry over them. Oh, goodness gracious. When you really oughtn't to do it, but God is here to make you well, my gallant brother. You believe that? You know, I think it's interesting that in the same scripture, in the very same chapter that Paul says, bear ye one another's burdens, he turns around and says, but each man must bear his own burdens. Now, Paul didn't contradict himself, but he's telling us, look, you can do a certain amount for somebody, but ultimately, I can't fight Brother Joel's battles for him, and he can't fight my battles for me. I can encourage him. I can text him quotes and scriptures and try to tell him positive things, and I can be there as a friend and try to help him, but I can't fight his battles, nor can he fight me. So what do? We've got something that we can do to be a blessing and an encouragement to somebody, but as always, the devil will try to turn that thing right back around. And if you're not careful, you get so involved with somebody that you begin to make their problems your problems. And you begin to worry, oh, Lord, what about Sister Susie? Or what about Brother Freddie? Or what about this one? Or what about them? They're going through all these things, Lord, and what can I do? What can I do? You can pray and put it in the hands of God and encourage them and let the Holy Spirit take care of it. Don't beat yourself up or let the devil beat you up or drive you crazy with things. But there's a part that we can do, and there's something that God can use us to be an encouragement. And then you do that and you step back and you pray for them and you lay it at the feet of Jesus and you walk on in faith. And the next time you see them, encourage them and try to do anything you can for them. And then when you walk away, lay it at the foot of Jesus and pray for them and say, Lord, you know, I can't help that person. I can't fix that person. I can't change that person's circumstance. But I'm depending on you, and use me as a vessel to encourage them. But other than that, I'm going to lay it on you to help them out, Lord. Amen. That doesn't just go for somebody else. We should do that with our burdens too. Do your part. Don't lay down and quit. Don't be some person that just lays around like a lazy bum and never does anything to try to help yourself. But there's a certain point where when we try to do something, we go and we put in our applications for a job, or we go and do our best at our job or our school. We study for our tests and we do all that. And we do our part for what we have in front of us. And we do all that we're able to do. But then once it gets beyond that, we realize, Lord, I've done all that I can. The rest is in your capable hands. Amen. And then we take our hands back off and we pray about it, give it to the Lord Jesus, and wait for the next opportunity that we can do something about it. But you don't let the devil beat you all day long about it. Amen. Expectation, 1955. Maybe you should just write this down and tape it to your mirrors or your car doors or your bedpost or whatever it would be. Expectation 1955. Quit worrying. God help us. You know, when it comes to healing the sick and raising the dead and signs and wonders following, we're ready to put the prophet's words into action. But when it comes to not gossiping and laying down our pride and stopping to worry and stopping our negative thinking, I wonder if we can put those quotes into action. Quit worrying. You're a deep thinker. You're always taking other people's trouble to yourself and crossing bridges before you get to it. You're always planning something that never happens. Quit thinking like that. Be happy and rejoice. It's a peptic ulcer. Can't help it. Makes your food sour and everything else in your stomach and cramps you. It won't hurt you no more. Go on and eat and be happy and rejoice and serve Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This is some good advice. You don't even have to pay some psychiatrist $100 or $200 an hour. This is good advice tonight. Amen. Quit worrying. It won't bother you no more. Go on and eat and be happy and rejoice and serve Jesus Christ. You know, he just named in one sentence some of my favorite things. It's amazing how a prophet of God could just take a few words and time together and no more. It won't hurt me no more. I don't like being hurt. Go on and eat. I love to eat. Be happy. Rejoice. I love to be happy. I love to rejoice and serve Jesus Christ. Goodness. How could we turn away from advice like this? Amen. He's trying to give you answers to your problems and solutions to your questions. Can we take it tonight? The presence of the Lord Jesus, 1955. All your life you've been nervous. You're not a nervous person that shakes, but you're a nervous person by thinking. Not nervous, afraid, all shaky and tense and stirred up like that. And oh goodness, what about this and what about that? I'm so afraid and nervous in your flesh, but a nervous person by thinking. You're always pre-planning things. Going ahead, planning things ahead usually never happens that way. We call it crossing bridges before you get to them. In doing that, you formed a stomach trouble. You begin to see a pattern here? That Brother Brandon, I said, I'm only reading you a handful of the ones, but if you go back and put in these things, crossing bridges, if you type that in as a quote search or planning ahead or planning things or quotes like that, you'll find dozens and dozens and dozens of these similar quotes, and they're almost always somebody in a prayer line that had a nervous condition. Planning ahead, planning way ahead. Oh, I've got to do this and I've got to do that, and I've got to make sure that this is taken care of, and I've got to what if this happens over here? How would I react, and what would I do? And if this person said this to me, what would I? You know, that's absolutely contrary to the scripture to lay there and stress out about those kind of things. The scripture said, "Take no thought what you shall say," but when you get put in those situations, because the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. But if we know we've got a meeting with somebody and, oh my, they know the message a little bit better than I do, and they're a little bit smarter psychologically than me, and they're kind of a manipulator, and they've done this and said this, and they cornered Brother So-and-so over here, and they really gave him what for, and my, I better plan out everything. What am I going to say? What's my strategy for my conversation? And sitting there and worrying all about it, and then maybe you finally meet up with that person. They didn't want to talk about any of that at all. They just wanted to get coffee with you. And you think, goodness gracious. All that planning and worrying when they text me and wanted me to meet with me, and I thought it was going to be this and I thought it was going to be that, and I planned and I put together a 9,000 page PowerPoint to defend my position, and they just wanted to get coffee. Usually never happens that way. That's right, it's an ulcer in your stomach, it's nervousness. Now you quit being nervous. My goodness. I would just tell you tonight that. Just quit being nervous. But I don't think it would have the impact it did when the prophet of God said it. So, here's your problem. You're nervous. Just quit being nervous. There's no need of being nervous. Jesus is with you. No need of being nervous. Jesus is with you. Why should I fear? Why should I worry? Why should I be nervous when he's right with me, Brother Hoover? He's with you in your car. Maybe you've been in a wreck. Maybe somebody rear-ended you. I know years ago when me and my wife were dating, a guy dropped his cell phone in the floorboard and was looking for it and didn't see that the car, two cars in front of me locked up and caused the car behind them to lock up and caused me to lock up. And Brother Hoover, I missed the car in front of me by about that much. And I thought, whew. And I looked in my rearview mirror, and here comes the F-350 bearing down on me, not slowing down at all. And he just crunched my little Ford Ranger like it was a pretzel. Bent it in two like that. And for a long time, Brother Jimmy, every time I'd get in the car, I'd look in that rearview mirror and I'd be a little tense. I think they call it PTSD. Because you remember something else that happened and you're afraid it's going to happen again. And you're always worried about that and always watching for that. And you're constantly checking that rearview mirror. What about this? What about that? Oh my, somebody hurt me before at this other church. So I'm just looking. I'm looking for the guy that's going to hurt me at this one. Somebody said something bad about my family over here, so I'm just watching for the next guy. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I've got my finger on the trigger. I'm ready for him. What a terrible way to go through life. Amen. There's no need of being nervous. Jesus is with you. Amen. I begin to realize, you know what? Jesus was with me there in the Ranger. Amen. That could have been a whole lot worse than what it was, but he was with me, protecting me. In fact, the tape I was listening to at the time in the car was the presence of God unrecognized. He was with me. Amen. He's with you. When you get in the car, he's with you. When you go to your job, he's with you. When you go to your school, when you go down here to the grocery store, when you have to sit down and have conversations with people that are uncomfortable, and you've got to take a stand for the word, or you got to stand up for your children, or you got to make a decision in life, and maybe it's not easy, and maybe you're running from it, but hey, Jesus is with you. There's no reason to be nervous. Maybe if you had a meeting with the President of the United States or the CEO of your company or something like that, maybe you would be a nervous wreck. But you know what? I've found more and more the word talks about respect of persons. And you know, I realize we should respect a person's office and we should respect them as a human being and things like that. But you know, there's really not many people that I talk to that it affects me in any way more than anybody else, because you know what? They're a human being that Jesus Christ died for. And whether they've got a nickel in their pocket or $5 billion in the bank, they're just 86 cents worth of dust. 6 feet of dust, Brother Branham said. I'm not going to be nervous and upset and worried because of who they are, what their bank account is, or what their family heritage is, or who's been president in their family, or all these different things. That's wonderful. Thank God for that. But I don't need to be nervous around them. Jesus is with me. The most important person on all of history is with me. When you go on a job interview, you got the most important person in all of history there with you in the interview. When you go to take that test at college or at your grade school or whatever it would be, middle school, high school, Jesus Christ is with you. When you go to face some of these hard conversations that we all dread a little bit, hey, Jesus is with me. He'll give me the words to say, and if I'll just yield to Him, He'll help me say it in the right spirit. Well, what if somebody gets mad or upset, or what if they don't receive it? Then that's on them. It's on me to have the right spirit and the right attitude and to depend on God to say the right words. And other than that, if they can't receive it, that's between them and God. I'll pray for them, but I've done my part, and I'm going to lay it at the feet of Jesus. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. Go on your road rejoicing, thanking God and praising Him, and you'll get completely well in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Faith without works is dead. 1953. All right, bring the lady. You believe with all your heart? Believe Jesus Christ makes you well right now? Go thanking God, saying, praise you, Lord. Praise you. Don't never have no negative testimony. Testify positive. Jesus has healed me and I'm well. Go and you receive your healing. Amen. A positive testimony. Again, law 1955. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. Amen. Let it be positive all the time. Brother Branham said when he got so sick there and he had ulcers and he was trying to eat and he said it'd come back up and he said he got anointed and prayed for and he was accepting his healing. He went home and he told his mom, he said, get me one of those big Texas onions and cut it and some beans and cornbread. And he said, I began to eat that. And he said, we had a bouncing party there for a little bit. Said it'd try to come back up and I'd put my hand over my mouth and swallow it back down and here it'd come back up again. And he said, I walked down the street the next day and he said, I was hot and My mouth was watering. He said, I felt terrible. You know, his stomach bothering him and all this going on. And somebody said, how you doing, Brother Branham? He said, I'm doing wonderful. Jesus Christ has healed me. Said somebody said, oh, Brother Branham, you lied. He said, no, I didn't. I wasn't talking about my physical. I was talking about the promise. Amen. Amen. He wasn't looking at his symptom. He was looking at the promise. I'm healed. Jesus is with me. He loves me. He cares about me. Why should I worry? Why should I fret? Amen. Keep your testimony positive. Amen. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive all the time. Again, uncertain sound, 1963. Anything that's uncertain, I'd just rather leave away from it. I don't like that negative thing. I don't like get mixed up in the negative side. I like it positive. Be on the positive side. Right. Absolute, 1963. He's still God. And if we can build our hopes, not only our hopes, but a positive thought upon what He says. Again, absolute, 1963. We must stop now looking at the negative side and go to looking at the positive side. Stop looking at the negative side and go to looking at the positive side. I'm going to challenge you to do that this week. Do that this week. In every circumstance that comes up, let's just start with Monday, okay? We'll start off small. Monday, when you get out of bed and everything begins to go wrong, the alarm goes off and you got to go to work and all these things coming up and you got school and you got this and you forgot this and you forgot that. Look at the positive side. Find the positive in it. Don't go to the negative right away like our human tendency is, but go find a positive in whatever it is. And do that all day Monday and keep reminding yourself, we must stop now looking at the negative side and go to looking at the positive side. And you do that and you get through Monday and maybe you'll realize, you know, there was a couple things I could have done better on, but I sure did better on Monday than I did last week about looking at the positive and turning away from the negative. And then you get up Tuesday and you do the same thing. And Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and by the time you get to the end of the week, it'll become a habit to you to where you're just constantly trying to look for the positive in situations and in people. You know, a lot of people that are in the military and that are, you know, in the police force and firemen and medics and things like that, they have a hard time trusting people because they see so many terrible things that human beings do that they get in that routine of seeing all the terrible stuff that people are doing all the time. And then they come back around, you know, normal everyday people that aren't doing all those things that they're dealing with every day. And they have a hard time trusting them because they're constantly seeing all these things that people are doing that are terrible out here. And they have a trust issue. They have a hard time looking at the positive when they see so much negative all day long. But just as much as you can dwell on the negative all day long, you can turn it right around and form a habit of looking at the positive. Maybe, you know, you do like I did one time, and I was trying to find a cell phone charger when I was living with mom and dad, and I was already late for work, and I'm looking around trying to find it, trying to get it to get in the car, and can't find it, looking all over the house for it, everywhere, looking in the vehicle, under seats, and everywhere, can't find it. My cell phone battery was low. I thought, well, I'm just going to have to go. I'm going to be late for work anyhow. And, you know, of course, I was just perfect, and I didn't get upset or ruffled about it at all, and I just perfectly drove the speed limit all the way to work, and just like you would have done, right? For some of you that don't know me well enough, that was all sarcasm right there, okay? I was nervous and I was frustrated, Brother Jimmy. I was upset and I'm running late and I'm driving faster than I should be. And all of a sudden I see off in the distance red lights and there's a semi turned over sideways on a car and there's an ambulance pulling up to try to get the people. And I thought, you know, 20 minutes late here, that would have probably been me if I hadn't got held back here looking for something that I couldn't find. So we find that even when we're not maybe acting as righteous as we should be, that the footsteps of the righteous are still ordered of the Lord. And if I could have found some positive, I give Brother Hoover a hard way to go. And so, of course, he turns it around on me every chance that he has an option because that's our human nature. But, you know, we were driving along a while back and there was cars in front of him. And, you know, it seemed like every little 86-year-old lady that the driver's license got in front of us that day. And he was just worked up, Brother Jonathan, because everybody was going slow in front of him. And he wanted to be on time for whatever we were going to. I said, Brother Hoover, maybe it's just God protecting us from being in an accident. I was trying to look at the positive. And so he told my wife, the next time he's in a hurry and there's somebody in front of him, I want you to video him and send it to me of how that he feels that it's just God protecting him from an accident.
Less than 24 hours later.
He says less than 24 hours later. But I did say, maybe God is protecting us from an accident. Maybe I wasn't as happy about it as I should have been. But you still got to speak the word, whether you're feeling like you're performing it right then or not. Look at the positive side. When it seems like everything's going wrong, take a step back and say, Lord, what are you trying to do here? Lord, there's a reason that all these things are going wrong. There's a purpose. Lord, is it just that I need some more character molding, that I need some more patience, that I need some more child training? Or are you trying to protect me from something? Or are you trying to give me a lesson here that'll help me down the road later? Or is this for my protection or my safety or for my good in some way that I can't see? Always try to look at the positive side.
Amen.
Amen. When you're out in a restaurant and the lady took 3 hours to bring you one cup of coffee and you're about to flip a table over? Say, Lord, maybe there's a reason. Maybe you've got me here so I can witness to somebody. Or maybe I'm not supposed to be on the road. Or maybe this lady's having a bad day. Maybe everybody else called in sick and she's waiting on the whole restaurant. How can I be an encouragement to her? Oh, my goodness. We're going to take a rapture if we keep going like this, won't we? He's still working on me. I'm not perfect in those things. But I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. Amen. Brother Bam said the lady stood up and said, I just want to testify. I ain't what I want to be. I sure ain't what I ought to be, but thank God I ain't what I was. Amen. We're not born, Brother Bam said, men aren't born men, they're born babies. So we're all, you know, we're spiritual babes in Christ Jesus, but we're trying to grow up into the full stature of a perfect man. We're trying to grow in maturity in the Word to where God can bring us up to a level to where one day we're going to take a step like Enoch did into another dimension. Amen. I'm obviously not there yet because I'm still here preaching tonight, but don't feel too bad about it. You're still here listening to me too. Amen. But we're trying. The scripture said, St. Paul said, the whole creation is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Right.
And, you know, there's plenty of opportunities in the day that we could take a step back and take a breath and say, Lord, what is the positive in this? There's positive in this somewhere. You have a purpose in this somewhere. Even if it's an argument with your spouse or your child or your coworker or whatever it is, say, Lord, there's positive in this somewhere. How can I find the positive in this person or in this situation or in this discussion? How can I bring a positive out of this instead of just staying on the negative? Blind Bartimaeus, 1955, if any thought comes by, well, maybe it couldn't be so. Maybe get it off your mind right quick. Think on things that's positive. Never let a negative thought pass through. Don't let it stop anyhow. If it starts to, keep your thoughts positive. Jesus, he says. That's a positive thought to think about.
Yes. Right.
He says, don't think sitting there in a wheelchair, you, that you're hopeless, helpless. You're not. Don't let that negative thought ever pass through. Don't let it anchor. You can't help it from going through your mind. That's right. But don't let it stop. Amen. I don't think there's any of us here in a wheelchair tonight. But if you was, maybe you'd sit there and feel sorry for yourself and your condition. Here I am, can't get around like I want to. Feel helpless, feel hopeless, feel like people's got to help me around all the time. He said, don't think those things. You're not helpless, you're not hopeless, you got Jesus with you.
Amen.
Amen. The same Jesus that told the man there at the pool of Bethesda, take up your bed and walk. The same one that came down by the gate called Beautiful, living inside of two Holy Ghost filled men, and said, silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, give we you. That same Holy Ghost is still here present tonight. Brother Branham talks about John Ryan, blind John Ryan there, and how he began to testify and his eyes cut him open. Brass Serpent, 1953, said his testimony was not negative. No matter what happened, it was positive. He believed it. Again, Jesus Christ the same, 1954. You've got to have your testimony and your confession positive. Not according to my feelings, but according to what he said.
Amen.
Jesus never said, did you feel it?
No.
Honey, did you feel any better? Did you feel a change? He said, did you believe it?
Amen.
And then he said, be it unto you according to your faith.
Right.
Amen. Not according to my feelings, but according to what he said. We should look at our salvation, our healing, every promise of God in that way. Not according to my feelings. Not according to if I feel all gushy and warm and tingly inside and feel like everything's just going right. No, you may feel like the biggest hypocrite in all of Jeffersonville or New Albany or wherever you're at. You may feel like you're down and out. You may feel like you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired. You may have all kinds of terrible feelings that the devil will give you. But I don't go according to my feelings. I want to go according to what he said.
Amen.
What does his promise say? What does his word say about me? There's only one way provided by God for anything, 1963. Oh, give us men and women with positive testimonies that'll bring man to repentance. Again, adoption part 2, 1960. But the thing I want to try to get to you is this, that a man that is in Christ with the Holy Ghost can bear with a man when he's wrong. Oh, I thought it was all about being right in this age. Well, bless God, I'm right and they're wrong, so that they're just out. No, he said the man with the Holy Ghost can bear with the man when he's wrong. It's hard enough for some of us to bear with somebody when they're right. Well, they're right, but I can't handle their personality, or I can't handle the way they do this or the way they do that. But a man with the Holy Ghost can bear with a man when he's wrong. Long-suffering, gentle, patient. He's sweet, humble, faithful, filled with the Spirit. Never negative, always positive. He's a different person. Psalm 118, verse 24, we quoted it this morning. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
If you wake up in the morning and you're so sick that you can't hardly get out of bed, and you go on and you have an email from your bank that says your bank account is overdrawn, and seems like everything is going wrong and falling apart everywhere you look, we still ought to be able to say, you know what? This is the day which the Lord hath made.
Amen.
I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad, whether I feel like rejoicing or being glad or not. I'm going to raise my hands and testify of His goodness and His mercy and His love. Whether I feel like all those things right now or not, I know that it's true because His Word said that it's true. I'm going to have a positive confession. Lord, You're going to heal my body. Lord, You're going to provide for the finances. Lord, You're going to work out these situations in my family or in my work or in my school or whatever it be. Lord, I'm going to rejoice and be glad because You made this day and You're ultimately in control of this day, not me or my boss or my spouse or my pastor or my enemy or my cousin or this one or that one or the other. You're the one that's in control of this and You're the one that's walking with me, so I don't have anything to be negative or discouraged about, but I'm going to rejoice and be glad because He's the creator of this day. Satan didn't create time. Satan didn't create life. And as long as I have life in my body, breath in my body, and time on this earth, I want to be able to raise my hands to Him and rejoice Him and praise Him, whatever the condition, whatever the circumstance. He's still God. Job was able to fall on his face back there in the Old Testament before the Holy Ghost was fully come and worship God even in the middle of his trial. And then we claim to have the Holy Ghost and can't give God the glory when things begin to fall apart and go wrong. And we just, oh, I guess God don't care about me. I guess He don't love me. They're calling His Word a liar then. His Word said He cared. He cares. Do you care? He careth for you. Maybe you don't feel like He cares, but He never said, do you feel like I care? He said, I care. He never said, do you feel me 24/7 walking with you tangibly? Do you see me in a physical body? He never said that. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll be with you, even in you, till the end of the world. So we can rejoice and be glad. Why Christ Speak 1963, our lives shall change from this day on, and we'll be more positive in our thinking. Again, only believe 1961, from henceforth my testimony shall never be negative. Why 1961, from this time henceforth I will think positive, I will believe every promise. Amen. I believe every promise and that it's for me, that it's my personal possession, that if He said it, then I can claim it and accept it for myself. From this time henceforth I will think positive, I will believe every promise. Amen. You love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Musicians, if you'd come. It's so easy for us to get caught up in all the negativity because it seems like negativity goes on around us all the time. Everything that gets projected almost by people is negativity, negativity. And it's easy to follow the pack and just say, well, they're being negative. They're talking bad about so-and-so. They're talking bad about me. They're doing this. They're doing that. So I'll just get caught up in that too. But I want to turn the negative things into positive things. I want to look and find the positive in somebody. Like Brother Bam talked about that lady we talked about this morning. Would never say nothing bad about somebody, but always had something good she could find to say about him. Even when they ask about the devil, said, oh, well, he's a worthy adversary. Sure is a good adversary. My. We can't say something good about our own family sometimes, let alone the devil. Hey, the devil, I can say this. I wish I had done as good a job as a Christian as he had done at his job all my life. Amen. He may be evil and vile and filthy, but he's doing a great job at it. He's doing what he does. He's doing it good. Amen. So what about us? We profess to be Christians. We profess to have the victory, to have the Holy Ghost. We profess to believe God's word. Then let's start taking Him at His word. Let's start applying some of these things to our lives. Pull out of all the negativity and the being down in the dumps all the time and discouraged. But be able to walk forth and say, Lord, I don't understand why I'm in this situation right now. I don't understand why so-and-so said this about me or why this is going on over here around the message or in my own family or whatever it is, Lord. But I know that You have it under control, and I have perfect confidence in You, and I have perfect confidence in Your word, and I'm not going to keep digging away at the negative and speaking of the negative. But from this time henceforth, I will think positive. I will believe every promise. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, Lord, as I think how many times, Lord, that we see in our life that You're still working on us. You're still making us and molding us. Lord, we come short so many times, but When we look into your word, we recognize that your word is true and faithful, that you're always faithful to perform it. So, Lord, we're depending on you tonight. Lord, these things we talked about the last few services, Lord, it's not something that we can just flip on a switch and change our personality or change our nature or change our genetics, Lord, but we're not depending on ourselves to make these changes, Lord. We're depending on you. Lord, the word has gone forth. We've looked at it in the quotes. We've looked at it in the scriptures. Lord, we've seen the patterns. We've seen the foundation for these things. And we recognize, Lord, that it's not your desire for us to be nervous and upset and worry. But Lord, it's your desire for us to be at peace and to be overcomers and to have victory in our life. It's your desire for us to dwell on your word and to dwell on the positive things and not to constantly be dragged down by negativity, Lord. I ask that you'd give us the strength. Give us the strength to perform, Lord. It's one thing to read about it. It's one thing to talk about it. But Lord, we need the strength to perform your word. We need the strength to put it into action in our own lives. I ask that you'd be with each one this week, Father. Lord, give us the strength. Some of us, Lord, we've been in such a habit of saying things the contrary to the way that, Lord, you've showed us in your word today. But Lord, we don't want to continue on that way, Lord. We want to be positive in our thinking. We want to be positive in our testimony. Help us, Lord. May your Holy Spirit come and give us the strength to perform what the word says. May we be able to put it into action. Lord, not so that we can say, hey, look what a great something I am. Look how good I did. But Lord, where others would be impacted, where they could see a change and they could say, you know what? I remember they used to always be down in the dumps and talking about negative things. And look at them now. They've always got something good to say. They used to talk about people all the time and compare people with themselves and compare themselves with others. And they used to always be arguing with everybody and bickering and running everybody down and trying to find anything fault that they could find in somebody. And now look at them. They're always looking to find something positive in somebody, something to encourage somebody, something to brag on somebody about. Always giving some positive reinforcement to their children and to their friends and even people they come in contact with that they don't agree with. Something has changed in them. I know they couldn't do that on their own, but God has got a hold of them somewhere along the line and did a work in their life. Lord, may we be so salty that others would want to be like us, Father, I pray. Oh, help us, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We worship you. Give us the strength, Lord, to make the right choices, to make the right decisions. To say the right words, Lord, to say words of peace and healing and positive things over our children, over our families. Help us, Lord. We need you, Lord. But Lord, we're thankful that we have the promise that you're with us, that you never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. We're depending on you, Father. May testimonies come forth from these services that we've had of the impact that it's had in people's lives, how it's changed their outlooks. Not because Brother Nathan said so, but because the Word said so. We give it to you, Lord. I've done my part. I've tried to present it the best I know how. I've tried to preach it under all the anointing that I could feel from you, Lord. Now I commit it to you, Lord, for my own life, for the life of those that'll hear it and have heard it. Lord, we commit it to you. Help us to be able to perform what's been spoken, Father. We give it to you. Ask you for help and strength and courage in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my. Why don't we sing this together? You love the Lord tonight? It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Oh, this is how I fight my battles. When it looks like I'm surrounded, then I'm surrounded by you. When it looks like I'm surrounded, then I'm surrounded by you. Lord, this is how I fight my battles. Fighting your battles for you. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's try this together. Thank you, Jesus, for all the grace you have. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for all.
church say thanks, oh thanks, Lord.
He's the King of Kings. My
proclaim His promise. He will supply. Oh, we'll walk together, my Lord and I. Oh, I'll stand for Jesus and let the
We'll keep singing, but just if you go, go reverently. God bless you, saints.
I'll claim His promise. He will supply and will.
Has done great things. Oh,
is holy. He has done great things. Oh, He has done great things. My Lord, He has done great things. Oh, He has done great things. Oh, bless His name. There is power, it's in the name of Jesus. Because there's power in the name of Jesus.
to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Lord, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Amen. You're thankful for the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. You looking forward to going home? Amen. Our heavenly home. Amen.
I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Oh, coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me. Oh, coming for to carry me home. Oh, sweet gold, sweet chariot. Oh, coming for to carry me
positive thought, maybe we can just sing this. Walk with me.